want us to miss something, y'all. Coming this morning, sitting there and watching folks get baptized, I don't know how much, what your viewpoint is, but standing right there, getting to see what I'm assuming maybe is a couple getting baptized, and the moment of overwhelming joy, excitement, or whatever was happening in this couple, I don't want us to miss what we just got to experience. We just got to experience people publicly saying, I am following Christ. I'm giving my life to Christ. Publicly, people are saying that. And so I know it's kind of part of the routine sometimes, and we do it monthly, but I don't ever want us to miss the joy and the privilege we got to have in experiencing someone's profession of faith. So give it up for them. I was sitting over there, I was like, I'm supposed to get up and preach, and I'm crying like a big old baby over here. But I can't help but the fact that getting the chance to be a part of something that is very, very special in someone's life, we should never, ever take that for granted. I'm excited to be with you. I'm ready to bring God's word and what I feel like God has put on my heart. Today, I'm going to be out of Psalm 27, and the title of this message is Trusting When Terrified. Trusting when terrified. So it's going to be in Psalm 27. If you would please stand with me as we read from God's word in Psalm 27. We're just going to look at verses 1 through 6, but I challenge you maybe later today at another time to go and read the rest of the chapter. We will reference it, but we're not going to read it all. Just verses 1 through 6. Verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when the enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall." There's a declarative statement there. "Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord and all of my life, all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle, and he will set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice. With shouts of joy, I will sing and make music to the Lord." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for who you are, God. We are so grateful. So grateful, God, that we get a chance to be a part of a holy moment for individuals proclaiming you and making that public. God, we thank you for Holy Spirit being present with us today. We already trust what you're doing in hearts. We're already trusting what you're doing and changing and developing and molding hearts to your likeness. So God, we acknowledge you, Holy Spirit. We acknowledge your presence. And above all, we give you the praise. We thank you, God, in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Just sniffling all the stuff. That was good. So Dr. Billy Graham talks about Psalm 27, and this is what he says about Psalm 27. He says, in Psalm 27, it shifts the focus from the size of your fear to the greatness of God. It shifts the focus. So as you're looking, as we step into Psalm 27, I want you to think about that. We're going to focus on some very specific things today, but he says it shifts our focus from the size of our fear to the greatness of our God. Now notice it does not say there is no fear. It does not say there's not anxiety, there's not difficulty. He says it shifts the focus from what we are looking at in our fear, and it gets us back to God. He also says Psalm 27 is a call to trust in the midst of unwavering adversity. So in the midst of trouble, in the midst of something going on, is learning how to trust what's going on and happening in our lives. Now, we're going to talk about fear and anxiety today. And so I'm going to give a couple of disclaimers as we start walking through this. The first disclaimer is it's real. Right? It's real. I'm on the stage talking to people. It's real. It's difficult in times. Fear happens. It's a real thing. But part of the disclosure that I want to give is that I know that there are individuals who experience difficulty that can be crippling. There are people experiencing troubles, maybe diagnoses or disorders that are troubling, that are crippling in their lives. I don't want this message to come across as something that minimizes that. I want to acknowledge the fact, and actually I want to ask us a little bit to lean into the fact that we have trouble. I want us to lean into the fact that we have fear, because in the midst of that fear, as Dr. Billy Graham said, it changes our focus on the size of what's going on the sides of our fear, and it brings us back to God. So as we're walking through this process, that's going to ask you to lean into those things. I also want to talk a little bit about war, difficulty. I know there are individuals who have served our country, and we're very grateful for that. I don't want things to have to conjure up in that. So I want you to take care of yourself as we're talking about these things. I want to get very specific about what may happen in difficulty and in war. And so taking care of yourself and sometimes just talking about panic, sometimes just talking about difficulty can stir that stuff on. But I'm also asking you to lean in. Lean into the fact that God has given us the ability to overcome that. Now, to be a little transparent, I get a little nervous. I am a therapist. I don't know if I've said that. I'm a counselor professionally and great privilege of serving the Lord in that capacity. And I can teeter a little bit on, should I talk about this? Is this going to bring something up? I can kind of wrestle with that just in myself. So that's just me being a little honest with you of like, when you bring it up sometimes, it's like, we don't want to go there. But I think in the process of praying through God, saying, which passage are we going to talk about? It was pretty blaringly obvious that Psalm 27 was it. So what I'm addressing specifically is how do we see our Father in the midst of our anxiety? So in the midst of fear, in the midst of terror, in the midst of pain, how do we see our Father? What does it look like in walking with God? David and his army, let's just paint a little bit of a picture about what's going on with David. David and his army is facing fear. He's telling us in this psalm, I'm surrounded by an army that's ready to attack me. They're ready to take me on, and he is in the middle of it. It's not just kind of some theoretical thought. He is in the middle of the potential attack. I really do appreciate his honesty here. He says in verse 2, he says, when evildoers assail me, to eat up my flesh. Y'all, come on now. If I'm sitting in a war and he says, an enemy is ready to eat my flesh, that's pretty descriptive about the fear that he has. Someone is ready to come after me. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what the end of this is going to be. I'm afraid. I'm scared. There's a few things I think we can assume about David. There's a few things. First thing is I think he's afraid. That's a given. He's anxious. Probably a given. He could have moments of doubt, and we actually see it in other passages, mainly through like verses 7 through 8 and 9 with David in this passage of Psalms, where he even comes a little bit of a doubt, like, is this going to work out? He has a question, his other question could be, is this the end of me? Like, am I done? Is this literally it? What we know about a king in the time frame is that there were constant battles. There's always something going on and constant fear that's before them. And so David probably was a place to think, is this my last battle? Is this the last one? Something else we could probably assume is, will the Lord protect me? I think there's an interesting paradox that's happening right now is David is proclaiming that the Lord is with him. He's proclaiming that God is with him. But we're all human, right? What I think can happen is in the midst of proclamation, we can still doubt. Is God really going to do this? Like, I'm saying it, I'm believing it, but will he really do it? And then the other is very similar to all of that is, how will this end? Imagine sitting in the midst of these things that's going on with David and wondering, how is this going to end? What is going to happen? Some things that we know about David, I just want to give us a little bit of history around this individual David. And sometimes it can get really easy to think about, hey, those people over there deal with stress. Those people over there deal with anxiety. Or you might hear it, it's become a very popular term, my anxiety this. So it becomes this kind of ambiguous thing. But I want us to think about David. The one thing that David proves for us is that everybody can experience it. David was a king. David was an adulterer. David was a murderer. But David was also a worshiper. David was a son of God. He was all of these things, but in the midst of all these things, he is still crying out to God and saying, God, I don't know what the end is going to be. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where this is going to land. I don't know what you're going to do with this. But yet in the midst of it, his eye was on the Father. The eye was on the Lord. Now, a little bit of confession about who I am. Some of you know me. Some of you know me really intimately. And know kind of things that I do in life, things I enjoy. I'm a father. I'm a son. I'm a husband. I'm a friend. I'm a counselor, I'm a worshiper, I'm all of those things too. Guess what? In the midst of all those things, I have probably messed it up at some point or fashion. What I also, in the midst of all those things, I can get really caught in the fact of what did Michael do wrong? What is Michael not trusting in God enough? What's happening on this end? Is it because Michael's done something? Those are all part of me too. But a little bit of secret, this is kind of where the counselor in me says, hello, my name is Michael and I'm also a, right? That's what I'm supposed to say. But what you may not know about me is I'm a bit of an adrenaline junkie. Yep, surprise. I can use, like, my music pretty, I stick to the plan. Coloma will tell you about, hey, we got to have a plan. We need to know what's going on. But there's something about me that likes the thrill of maybe something adventurous. So my family, every year, we try our best, since about 2020, go to Colorado for vacation. And each year, I kind of have gotten to where I sneak in little activities that kind of feed my adrenaline junkie in me. And so it might be water rafting at 40 degrees outside. It might be climbing 3 miles up to a waterfall, 3 miles one way, and then back the other way. This year, the adrenaline in me said, let's go zip line. Let's get on the zip line. Look at us. That's us in the Colorado, in the mountains, getting on the zip line. So let me set the pace for you for a little bit. On the zip line, when we went in, we weren't quite sure what was going to happen. My thought was, hey, maybe there's 3 different zip lines we're going to get on, and we have a chance to kind of have some fun and do whatever. Well, we get there, and we realize there are 6 different lines that we're going to be on. All right, 6 different zip lines. Now, as we're talking about this as a family, we're getting excited about a family. Josiah, our oldest, he just really clear. He goes, Dad, you know, me and heights don't get along. I really don't do heights. I said, that's okay. We'll be good. You're going to be strapped in. You're going to be on the line. It's going to be okay. You're going to be all right. And so he kept this very clear. And I remember him and his mom, Coloma, my wife, said, all right, he says, if you do it, I'll do it. So he makes a pact. Basically, if I die, you die. it's where he's coming from. And so they're excited. They're, okay, I'm going to give it a shot. They're going to give it a shot. So we get up, we climb up to the zip line. And I want to show you real quick. Look at Josiah take off. And before I do that, notice who pushes him off of the platform.
Get set.
Beat your mama.
Go,
go buddy, go. Go straight. Go beat your mama. Go.
You got to go. She's got you. She's beating you.
Holding on for dear life. It's pretty good. Young platform. He was scared. So was his mom. So I want to, again, we think about what's happening. Is we are getting, and we're going to different platforms. We have to climb up, and we climb up to the first one, and we literally zip line to the next platform. And there is another family of 5 with us. So the platform, what is it, maybe 4x4? I mean, this is not a huge platform. So you've got 11 people, 10, our family, and a family of 5, and then the instructor or the guide, all trying to get on this platform. And so as you're getting up, you're kind of scooting and trying to figure out how to stand. So not only are they afraid of going down the zip line, they're afraid of falling off the platform. So we're constantly in fear. Constantly. And poor Josiah, I get permission from him. He's back there on the camera right now. I got permission. Poor Josiah, at times, there were times he was like this. Having to breathe and get himself ready. And I remember multiple times as his father sitting there thinking, hey, son, I've done this. I've got it. You're going to be okay. We're good. Just breathe. Think about it. I'll ask him, hey, what are the scriptures that are going through your mind? Or what song is going through your head? What are you doing to try to get yourself pumped up? And I remember thinking as a father, at some point, we're doing 6 different lines. Dude's going to lighten up and he's going to be good. Didn't happen, right? What you just saw was the 5th one. We had 1 more to go, and you see how tight that was on there. But I very specifically remember thinking, if he just would trust that I know we're good. He would just trust that Dad is saying, I've done this. Y'all, when in college for 5 years, I worked on zip lines. I worked on ropes courses. I worked in the mountains. I did this stuff. And so I was like, I promise you, you're going to be good. Just trust me. You got it. You'll be all right. And he would go, and y'all saw me push him on number 5. So that tells you that he didn't quite trust and see that. I was like, you got to harness it. And so the adrenaline in me says, what I did was, I jumped up. I'm dumping flips. My feet are up in there. I'm going all sprawled out. I'm enjoying it. I'm having a good time, even though there's that sense of fear that's going on with even in myself. Now, let's make the picture. No, we weren't in war. No, there wasn't an enemy coming against us. But there was a very present fear. There's a great level of anxiety that was happening, not just in Josiah. He was probably most prevalent, but it really was in all of us. I remember very specifically the guy that, on that very last one, you're racing someone. And then that very last one, what happens is, you are matched, hopefully, with someone with equal weight. And so I had this dude about my size from the other family. I think he's the dad. And I'm getting on. I'm like, I'm going to beat this dude. I'm taking off. And I grab my harness, and I take off. I take off, run, and jump, and go off. I get about halfway and look back, and dude is still sitting up on the platform. I'm like, where does the fight? I'm like, this is a battle. We're supposed to be competing. He was still afraid. Even a grown man who had been through this process four other times was still sitting on the platform and was like, I ain't sure about this. I'm not really sure what's going to happen in this. So though it's not war, though it's not things, there are daily things that we are fighting in our lives. You think about the things that are before you. There are daily things that come before you that cause a great level of anxiety and or fear in your life. What we know when we start thinking about the definition of anxiety, there's a couple of things I want you to hear. And I do a couple of things when I'm studying, where I'm studying the Bible, I'm getting ready for something, a talk. I oftentimes will go to Google, used to be Webster, right, that I would go and try to find a definition. Let's define anxiety. The definition of anxiety says, a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. Jumping off a platform 40 feet in the air. Definition of fear, an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or threat. What I appreciate about David is there's some great honesty about the emotions, the things that are going on with him in this moment. He's afraid, but yet there's something that's happening that David is not leaning into that fear. David is leaning into who he knows holds him as he jumps off the platform. Some things to think about. Some questions maybe I want you to maybe ponder if you're a person that takes notes. So a couple things I want you to think about. And things that go on in my own life when I think about difficulty, when I think about struggle. Anybody wonder why we have trouble? Like, literally, think, why is trouble even something that we have? Am I literally the only person that thinks that? All right. Isaac, you said you were going to participate. Thank you. All right. So, why do we have trouble? Some of you are like, well, I know we do, but what I can challenge you, and I see every day, even as a therapist in my office, is that people come in and wonder, why is this happening? So therefore, you have wonder of why do we have trouble? Another question I want you to think about in the midst of trouble, you might ask like David is, when will this end? When will I get enough money? When will my sickness go away? When will my own anxiety disappear? When will fill in the blank? When will this end? When will this be over? The other thing is, those of you that maybe do struggle with anxiety, sometimes you can get anxious thinking about the anxiety, right? When am I going to be anxious again? When am I going to have panic? And then you begin to panic because you're worried about it coming on, right? These are real. Like, y'all talk with me. Y'all know it's something that happens on a daily basis. It's part of what's going on. But what we see with David is the fact that David is in the midst of it. Y'all come back and just imagine with me just a little bit. This is a dude I don't remember. I obviously don't remember. I wasn't there. In the midst of what's going on and happening in war, what we know, it was vicious. It's in the middle of the night, and I can only imagine, you've got a dude sitting out there, and there's a few things that are happening with David. He's worshiping, he's crying out to God, but if y'all were this army and you were surrounding me at the moment, it would be a little odd to be sitting here and I'm worshiping the Lord, and you've got not guns at the time, you've got a weapon ready to take me out, but he's worshiping. So he's in the middle of fear. But there's some amazing things that I think that are happening is he's also surrounded by others. And we're going to look at more of that in just a second. If David is a worshiper and he's a king, do you think it's possible the people around him are worshipers? Those that he's surrounded by are worshipers. I'm going to give you three different points about how do we apply this and what's happening in the life of David. And the very first thing I want to give you is David is declaring truth versus dreading the unknown. He is declaring truth versus dreading the unknown. Let's look at this in verse 1-3, where David says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me due to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. The war break out against me, even then will I be confident. So in the midst of this, he is just simply proclaiming truth. And he says three different things in that. He says, the Lord is my light, the Lord is my salvation, and the Lord is my stronghold. If we go back and look at what Spurgeon has to say about this, Spurgeon says, this is a threefold cord that cannot be broken. So I don't want us to think lightly about what he's proclaiming in this moment. He says the light, the Lord is my light. So what is light? If you think about darkness, if we were to turn the lights out in this room right now, it would be really, really dark. What does light do? Light sheds light. It brings hope. It brings joy to what we're experiencing in the moment. I remember one time we were sitting down at our table with our three boys, and we were talking about fear. And it came on, I think, by one of our trips. And we were talking about fear and an experience. And our youngest, James, and we're talking about being afraid of the dark and all these different things. And James goes, "You know, Dad, I don't know that I'm really afraid of the dark. I'm afraid of what's in the dark." And at the time, he was like, what, maybe 10? I don't know. Something, he was younger. And he says, "I'm afraid of what's in the dark." What's amazing about light is light sheds light on what's in the dark. So when I know what I'm facing, I can face it differently. And there's a sense of hope and joy that comes when I know when I'm ready to battle. When I know what's going on and what's before me, light shows I can take this on. And if I can't, I know I've got an army. More importantly, I've got the Lord on my side to take it on, right? So the Lord is my light. That means he's given me a chance to see what is before me. Maybe in the dark, and I'm assuming he's in the dark, and he's having this prayer, and he's saying, "God, show me what's before me. I know what's out there, but I know you're my light, and you're my stronghold, so I can see what's going on, and I can face my fear." He also says he's my salvation. So what is salvation? It is literally, the definition of salvation is, it's the deliverance from danger. It is the deliverance. So if the Lord is my light, he's making this proclamation, the Lord is my light and he's my salvation. So that means he's saying, I am in the middle of pain, I'm in the middle of fear, and the Lord is going to deliver me from it. He's going to take me out of this danger. Even, like, get this, even while he's worried, even while he's facing a very present danger in his life, the Lord is going to deliver me from it. Then third, he says, the Lord is my stronghold. What is the definition of stronghold? It's a secure refuge. A fortified place of refuge is the definition of the Lord being a stronghold. So he's saying, standing right here, standing firm in who I know the Lord is, I know what he is going to do. I know what he's capable of. Notice he did not say only that the Lord is going to stop this and take this away. He said he's my stronghold, and through this stronghold, God is going to deliver me out of it. That's what he's proclaiming in the midst of his fear, in the midst of difficulty. Even when the enemy surrounds me, he says, David says, I will not fear. I don't know about y'all, but like the thought of war. So this is a little surprise. I had family friends come in and support me this morning. It was a great surprise. And that family friend, one of them is military and retired. I can't even come to imagine. I have many friends who have served and we're grateful for that. I can't even imagine what it's like to experience war or to a present help. I've been in fights before, but I've never been in a place where there's multiple people and guns after me. I can't even imagine. So I'm thinking about David in the midst of what he's experiencing. Dude is scared. And I don't want us to miss that. Dude is terrified, but where does his trust come from? His trust comes from the Lord. So what is the application of this? Like, how do we apply this to our life? If we're declaring truth versus dreading the unknown, how do we apply it? We get into the Word of God. Now, I was a little hesitant when I was writing some of this. I was like, this is kind of duh. Think about it. Like, how do I fight what's going on? I thought about it, though, and I thought with David, how did David know in the midst of his battle, in the midst of what he's experiencing, how did he know to proclaim the Word of God? He spent time with the Lord. So therefore, it brought back, in the midst of those difficulties, it brought back the word, and that's what he countered it with. Because what we can do, what Michael does in his anxiety or fear, is Michael thinks about all of what's around him. I think about all of the danger that's before me, and sometimes forgetting that, oh, there's a God that's with me in the midst of my pain, my suffering, and my fear. So the application is getting into the word. When something comes around you, allow the word of God to be what conjures up inside of you. So that's the first part of that. The second part of it is, come back to David in the midst of this battle. What's happening in the midst of the battle? David ain't by himself, right? David is not by himself. So what's happening is somebody is protecting him. The Lord has provided an army around him that he has the opportunity to be able to pray and call out to the Lord. I said it earlier, it's very likely too that those people are also crying out to the Lord. It is my assumption, I don't know this, there ain't nothing in scripture that may even say this, but it's my assumption that if David is the one that is seeking after the Lord, I hope as a king, the people around him are seeking after the Lord. So if you think about in your life when things get difficult and things are troubling, are you surrounded by people that are gonna also be surrounded by the Lord? Therefore, they're gonna be praying for you and they're gonna lift you up and help you in the midst of your trouble. David was surrounded by help. David was surrounded by an army that was with him to take on this battle, but he also knew, even with all these surrounding him, if it wasn't for the Lord, if it wasn't for what the Lord is doing in the midst of this, we may perish, with the possibility of perish. The other application of this is in verse 4. David adamantly proclaims the truth versus anxiously avoiding the inevitable outcome, right? So he's adamantly, come in, I'm going back to the definitions, I went back to the dictionary, at least Google, and this is what it said about the definition. Like, this is right in your notes, like, go find this, because I didn't get it on the, up here. But here's the definition. Adamantly, do in a way that suggests one will not be persuaded to change one's mind firmly and resolutely. Let me say it again. The definition of adamantly, do it in a way that suggests one will not be persuaded to change one's mind firmly and resolutely. Now, you imagine coming back with definition around anxiety. We talked about that earlier. What is the root of that? It is this fear of the inevitable, or the fear that danger is coming. It's the fear that something's coming after me. Well, we all talked about the fact that that's what's going on in David's life right now. Someone's after him. But what we see in this is that David is standing strong and saying, no matter what, I'm standing with the Lord. Nothing's going to change my mind, because what we also see in the other Psalms is that David is constantly pouring out to the Lord. Sometimes it's in pain. Sometimes it's in praise. Sometimes it's in regret. Sometimes it's even in panic. He's crying out to the Lord. But why is he doing this? Because nothing's going to change my mind that the Lord is with me. Even in the midst of this, because my focus can easily get on what I don't have or what isn't happening or what's going to get after me, but nothing is going to change my mind that the Lord is with me. This guy is hyper-focused on the Creator. Hyper-focused on what God is and who God is in the midst of what's going on and what's happening, as opposed to everything that's around him. So my question is, what is your focus when you're in the midst of your adversity? Where is your focus when you're in the midst of your pain? Where is your focus in the midst of your terror? Where is your focus even when you're experiencing anxiety? Most adversity, most of the time it's focused on the adversity. Most of the time it's focused on the struggle. The questions we asked earlier typically is where we are focused. As a matter of fact, in verse 2, David himself says, they will stumble and fall. So when these folks are coming to eat my flesh, they are going to stumble. He's not saying, I'm going to stumble. I don't know what the outcome is, but God, I'm going to proclaim it right now that they are going to stumble, not me. Right? And so in the midst of that, thinking about where, if I'm only thinking about this is going to be too harmful, this is too hurtful, whatever it is, I'm likely to give in and not be adamantly proclaiming the truth of God. So what is the application of this? It's going to look familiar. Look at truth. Focus on truth and start your day proclaiming truth. Now, some of you I know, and maybe similar, is that maybe you wake up already anticipating the anxiety of the day. You wake up, I've heard it, that's why I'm saying it, is I wake up and I'm anxious about what's going to happen today. Am I going to lose my job? Is my wife going to love me? Are my children going to be respectful? All of these things are already stirring up as you roll over in the day. And typically what some of you might do is roll over and hit snooze, and hopefully if I hit snooze, then that means I won't have to worry about it. Or if I go back to sleep for 10 minutes, it's all going to go away. How are you starting out your day? And being able to anticipate the fact that fear is going to happen, anxiety is going to happen, trouble is going to happen. So how do you start your day? Start your day proclaiming truth. If that means you got to turn on worship music, blast it in the bathroom, whatever you got to do, get your day started with the Lord. Because guess what? Fear is coming, anxiety is coming, threat is coming. All those things are going to be part of your day. Anticipate it. What are you going to do in the midst of it? The final thing that he does that we see with David in verses 5 and 6, he says, stand in confidence versus sitting cowardly. Stand in confidence versus sitting cowardly. Let's read real quick in verses 5 and 6. He says, for in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. He is standing with confidence about who the Lord is, and I'm going to praise him no matter what. That's what's going to happen. I'm going to do this. Whatever's coming, whatever's happening, so you think about your day, I'm going to praise him no matter what that's coming before me. So that becomes a challenge. Is can you stand confidently that God will hide you in the tabernacle of his will? standing in that, in the middle of that, in the very beginning of your morning, to say, no matter what's coming before me, even if I can anticipate difficulty, I'm going to stand in the Lord. So he's proclaiming that from the very beginning. Remember, the dude is surrounded by an army. He's surrounded by difficulty. But because David, in the preceding verses, he's crying out to God, he remembers. Now, I want to make this caveat, is what happens in the preceding verses, the next verses, is that David starts doubting a little bit. Even though you have a guy that starts in the beginning of Psalm 27, proclaiming and standing strong in it, David teeters just a little bit and says, wait, will you be with me? Will you do these things? But the way that he ends the chapter is coming back and remember, oh, wait, no, I know that you are my God. I know that you are with me, and I know that I will be standing with you in the tabernacle. So what do you do with application with this? The application says, prepare for war. Be ready before the battle, you get on the battlefield, right? So if you are to prepare before you even leave the house, before you first wake up in the morning, get ready and be ready for it because it's coming. David that morning probably woke up on the battlefield. So he was preparing himself to do whatever it is that God had for him and the next steps in his life. Now, Matthew 26, we see where Jesus himself was experiencing this. And I just want us to touch here because I think, maybe y'all are a little bit like me, but sometimes I think, those scriptures said, Jesus has experienced all the things that we've experienced. There's nothing that he has not been a part of that we experience. I get it. But there are also times I'm like, I don't know. Like, did he really experience this? Like, was he ever in a place where he's like, can I really provide? Can I really do this? Can I really make these steps? And we see it in Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 39. I think we get a glimpse of what David was experiencing, what we experience, and what's happening in life. Jesus was there. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, then Jesus went with his disciples to the place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Sounds like fear, anxiety. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch over me. Dude is crying out. Remember those people surrounding him? He asked people, take care of me. Pray with me. Going on a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, sounds like a little bit of doubt, sounds like a little bit of fear, sounds like some anxiety. If it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Even Jesus, in the midst of what he was experiencing, said, I'm afraid. I'm nervous about what's coming before me, but not my will, but your will be done. So even in the midst of pain and fear, he trusted God. So I told you the story about us going to the mountains and getting on the zip line. We got to the sixth line and did the line. I was first to go. I was trying to see if I could, like, hey, can I jump? Can I do a flip? Like, whatever. What can I do? And the lady's like, no, don't flip. You don't have a top harness. You might fall out. I was like, oh, I got it. We're going to do it. But I just jumped off. I went. And because of my size, I flew. Like, it was supposed to be a short one. I went fast. And I hit that platform, smack. The other platform, I was excited, got done. I get down. Josiah was the one that came right behind me. When we got off the platform, he's coming down. And Josiah comes down. And can y'all show the picture of Josiah when he got off the platform? The words that Josiah said to me when he got off the platform, it didn't hit me then. But it hit me as we were getting this message together. As I was getting the message together, what he said was, Dad, I see you different, and I respect you. With what we just went through, I see you different, I respect you. What that began to challenge me is to think about, in the midst of our fear, in the midst of our difficulty, sometimes we forget what the Father has done for us. We forget that the Father is with us. And praise, y'all remember when we were on the platform, I told him, Josiah, I've been here, son. I've done it. All you got to do is hold on, jump, and you've got it. I'll show you. Let me show you how to do it. I've got you. But it wasn't until Josiah had the experience in the midst of his fear, in the midst of his difficulty, did he see the Father differently. So I wonder, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our fear, how are you going to see the Father? My hope is, in the midst of those things, we can do these things, that we can declare truth, adamantly proclaim and be confident and stand in who God is, even in the midst of our pain. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that that you are with us. We are so grateful that no matter what is before us, no matter what dangers that sit before us, and it's not doubting that they come, but it's when they come, what are we going to do? Thank you, Jesus, for being there. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for guiding us. Thank you for being our confidence. And most of all, thank you for being our deliverer and for being our stronghold. God, I pray today that if there's anyone, Father, here that does not know you, Father, I just simply pray, God, that they would surrender to you in the midst of all that's going on in their life. Not that it's getting perfect, not that it's going to change, but that they would surrender, Father, to you. And in saying that, I'm going to ask you, if maybe there is somebody here today. Maybe there is somebody that you are facing a lot of stuff in your life. Maybe there are a lot of challenges that are happening in your life, and you're saying, I don't know what to do. I'm scared, Michael. I don't know what to do. Maybe your first step is surrendering to God. Maybe your first step is allowing God to be the Lord of your life so that he can fight the battle, so that he can be your stronghold. If you have questions about that, we have people in our table, I mean, the counter at the back, that are willing to help and walk with that through with you. But I pray simply, if you are here today and you desire to say, hey, I need to give my life to the Lord because the Lord is not the person that is guiding me. The Lord is not who I go to in the midst of my fear. The Lord is not my Savior. If that is you, I'm going to ask you simply on the count of three just to raise your hand. One, two, three. Thank you. So if you would, I'm just going to simply ask you that you pray with me and just simply say these words. You say to yourself, you said it out loud, but simply you're praying to God and asking the Lord. It said, Lord, I ask you to come into my life. Lord, I pray that you would be the Savior of my life. I surrender who I am to you. Lord, you are my Father, you're my protector, and you're my healer, and I surrender to you. If that is you, and if you've prayed that prayer today, we just simply ask that you go to our table. We have something that's ready for you, someone that can walk you through. They want to give you a Bible and help you on this journey as you allow the Lord to continue to be who he wants to be in your life.